on? Here we are with another episode of Cognizant and Cognizance, episode 30 this week. Got a couple good different topics for you today. As per usual, I'll be coming at you with a reading of today's Daily Stoic entry. This will be the last reading of April because the next time I record it will be May. So also want to talk a little bit about altruism today, which I think is possibly the most misrepresented component of human interaction. And that's based on absolutely nothing, completely unfounded. I just kind of had a dialogue on Twitter the other day that I appreciated the depth of and continue to think about that for the rest of the day. And so that's spilling over into this. However, before we get into that, I will start with usual. Here's my 10 cents for thought. Excuse me. So today, am I a little bit better than yesterday? I would say yeah, because yesterday I didn't really do jack shit other than work, came home, ate dinner, then I was in and out of sleep for the next, 12 hours, probably from 7 to 7. I did catch that Carolina victory though, so that was awesome. I did get to see the Hurricanes beat the Capitals, so that was good. But yeah, I didn't really do much. I guess I just caught up on some sleep, probably because the night before I stayed up and watched the San Jose Sharks game after the Bruins clinched game 7. Let's go. Bring on the Blue Jackets. Anyway, yeah, I'm a little better today than yesterday because, you know, all of the above. Got up early to work, made it home on time, ate a good dinner, worked out already today. Here I am doing this while the sun is still out, which is fantastic, something that really needs to keep happening. And also just kind of had a little more self-control today than I did yesterday. Yesterday was kind of just like a shot day. I kind of phoned it in. I mean, in terms of diet, I kind of just like did some snacking and shit at work yesterday, which is easy. We have so much like candy and crackers and all that kind of garbage, so I kind of indulged a little bit yesterday, so I didn't even really feel that good this morning. Just kind of felt like shit after being kind of strict with myself for a few days, or really a couple weeks. Number two, have I built my character? I guess so. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, it's kind of hard not to work on your character during a day, and that's probably why I felt like shit this morning too, is because yesterday I didn't really do a damn thing towards bettering myself other than like, looking for a job in other cities. Not that I don't love living in Rochester and working here, but just, you know, exploring what's out there. Not much. Still working in Rochester for the foreseeable future at this point. But who knows? But yeah, just trying to keep my head on straight, dealing all things with honesty and humility. Naturally, who wouldn't? But really, I think that building your character is not a hard thing to do if you're actually focusing on it. Once you lose focus of it, it's kind of hard to gain that ground back, but you could do it. So, did I give my best at work for number three? And today, yes, I did. I had a pretty productive day today compared to yesterday or any other day this week. Got some shit done, got some people on the phone. So that was good, but month isn't over yet. I have until next Tuesday to kind of finish on a good note because I'm not having a very good time this month. It is what it is. Number four, what did I learn new today? I learned that, well, give you a little background. I was so productive during the first 80% of the day today and did so much that I spent the last like hour to hour and a half reading economics threads on Twitter. And so what I learned new today, which I thought was really interesting, although not necessarily surprising, was that California has the highest percentage of immigrant-owned small businesses in the country. And Los Angeles specifically has the second highest percentage of city residents that are immigrant and small business owners at 43%, behind So 43% of small businesses are owned by immigrants and first-generation Americans. And the only city in the country that has a higher rate is Miami with 44%. So I learned a couple things in that vein today. I also learned that residents of the state of Colorado pay $4.50 for every 1 million, like every single, what was it? Yeah, I think it's, if I remember correctly, every single resident of the state of Colorado pays $4.50 extra per $1 million of revenue that legal pot generates in Colorado, which doesn't seem like a lot per person, but considering that it's supposed to be a revenue generator overall and make things cost less, it's actually costing every single Colorado state resident an extra $4.50 at the end of the year to fund those things. And that comes from high cost of electricity to run indoor grow operations, comes from, I mean, it was probably a little bit of a biased study just as I read on the methodology, and the source of the study was from like the Christian Science Center or something like that, but that's still an interesting statistic to even digest in the first place. But anyway, number five, have I made healthier choices? And I would say that today I certainly have, compared with yesterday, whereas yesterday I slept in, didn't do shit all day, didn't work out when I got home, ate a big dinner, and just went right to sleep, whereas that was what happened yesterday. Today was quite, in fact, the opposite. So I was out of bed early, about like 45 minutes earlier than I usually am, which is great. Got a little bit of stuff done this morning, did some reading, got my workout as soon as I got home, showered, changed the Tegaderm bandage on my tattoo because the only one was getting kind of ratty, so I washed that, put a new bandage on it and stuff, so that's healing really, really well. I got a new tattoo last Saturday, which is pretty sweet. It's about 75% done. Got my next session in June, so that'll be cool. And then just ate a nice, healthy-ish dinner, and here I am. So, number six, if I protect my planet. Sure, still not a vegan, still not going to happen. Doing a little bit of recycling. We cleaned up all the cardboard boxes. Well, Kyle cleaned up all the cardboard boxes the other day. Recycling all our cans and bottles from over the weekend, doing a little bit of drinking, all that good stuff. Got the lights off mostly in the house. We usually have them off anyway, though. All that good stuff. Just trying to leave it a better place than it was when I came into it, and trying not to pollute and be a piece of garbage, literally and figuratively. Seven, I express my love for my family and friends. Yeah, I usually do that. Spent the weekend, well, not the weekend, really just all day and some of the night on Sunday out at the Wayne County house with my brother and my dad doing Easter stuff. So that was great. Got to hang out with them for the day, which is good to see them. And then I came back home and watched some Game of Thrones. So been doing that more so lately. Number eight, have I spent quality time with my spouse? Not yet, but next week I'll be going to Philadelphia to see her, so that'll be awesome, actually. That'll be fantastic. So, haven't spent any quality time with her recently, though. And it's girlfriend, not spouse. Don't be weird. excuse me. Number nine, do I bear any grudges against anyone? I don't know yet. I guess we'll see. The draft starts at 8 o'clock tonight. The NFL draft starts at 8 o'clock. And so I will have a few choice words for the Dolphins organization if they draft someone shitty. If they draft Dwayne Haskins, I'm going to lose it because that guy sucks. But as of right now, no. I guess I will update you next week if I hold a grudge against the Dolphins for a shitty draft. So be it. And question 10, am I content with my life? And kind of hate this, kind of love this. No, but yes, but also definitely not, but also yeah. Considering that I am content with what I have, I don't necessarily want for anything. Have a pretty comfortable life for the most part, but so much more happiness to be gained, so much more happiness to be shared, so much more happiness to gather and distribute amongst the townspeople, as they would say. So I guess I'm content with what I have, but not content with where I am, as per usual. So there you have it, my 10 cents for thought. And so now I want to get right into my little talking point for today. And so, as you've noticed by the title, I have an opinion on the concept of altruism, which, let me pull the exact definition up so I can read it, but altruism essentially being the act of selflessness that you give or do something for someone else without necessarily wanting or expecting anything good in return for yourself. So let's see the actual definition here. Yeah, the belief in or practice of disinterested and selfless concern for the well-being of others. So, I mean, pretty noble thing, right? So here's why I was thinking about this so much over the last couple days, probably the last 2 days I was thinking about this. And so it all started with, it was either Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, you know, just on Twitter as I would be. And for any of you that are big into documentaries, independent journalisms, you may know this person, Mike Cernovich, and I follow him on Twitter. And so it all started with one of Cernovich's tweets about how good it feels to tip a server a $100 bill, because, you know, once you've done that, you've probably made their day. And then if a rich person doesn't have a story about doing that, then they're a shitty person and you shouldn't talk to them because they're not living right. And to some extent, I agree with that. And I agree with that in the sense that it does feel good to give that money away to someone else. I don't want to toot my own horn here, but I consider myself a fairly generous tipper, no matter really what it is. The bill could be $10, the bill could be $150. I'm going to tip the person well if they give me good service. And so I don't necessarily feel good about that, but it is something to be commended, to be of the mind that you should be tipping someone else, because that's what they're making. Now, I'm not doing it because, oh, I'm going to make this person's day. I don't really care. I'm just giving them what I feel they're owed and what they deserve, especially in the service industry. Waiters, waitresses, you know, even if I go to a restaurant and I'm just picking food up, I'll leave some money on there for a tip, because these people are busting their ass. They're busting their ass to feed their family, keep a roof over their head, and to keep a smile on your face, obviously in the hopes that you'll tip them well. Excuse me. However, I disagree with him, because I think it's a really self-serving reason to want to tip someone just so you can feel good about making them feel good. And so I disagree with him in the sense that I think he's placing too much value on the actual giving itself and kind of being a little self-righteous about it, when in reality the focus of any good and righteous act shouldn't necessarily be on the doer of the act. It should be on the recipient of the act, and focusing on like what value that act actually creates for the other person. And so, you know, because I have nothing better to do, apparently I'm scrolling through the replies to this tweet, because he's a fairly famous journalist, he's probably got 20,000 followers, I'd guess. Yeah, he's probably got 20,000 followers. And so I'm looking through and I see this reply thread from another account that I follow called Artful Future. And so he throws a pretty decent little thread out there, probably like 5 or 6 tweets in response to Cernovich. And the nature of this thread is kind of about how self-serving it is, just like I had been thinking, how self-serving it is to brag about tipping people in the service industry. And I, obviously, everybody likes to find and meet someone that they agree with, you know, you always want to get a little bit of, everyone has a little bit of confirmation bias. But, however, he said something, I actually don't know if it's a he, it's just a it's just like an anonymous account, so it could be a she. How do I know? But this account said something in the tweet about having a burning desire. Like, the whole point was that you shouldn't brag about tipping people in the service industry, because at the end of the day, your name is on the bill. They know who you are, and they know, they have your credit card number. They know exactly what you had to eat that day, and they also know how much you tipped. And so he was saying, if you have a burning desire to fulfill, like, to be altruistic, then do other things. Give back to the community, make food for people, volunteer your time, do things like that. And so, in that sense, I agree, there are better ways to be altruistic than just tipping well. However, there was something that was said in that thread that kind of, it kind of clicked for me, and I realized, if you have a burning desire to be an altruist, does acting on that burning desire to be altruistic actually make you an altruist? And I don't think it does. I don't think you can. If you have a burning desire to do something selfless for other people and you act on that, what are you doing? You're serving your own desire to be selfless, which in the end, you are deriving a really significant and almost decadent sense of value from the idea that you're not getting anything out of doing what you're doing. It's very self-serving and, like I said, decadent, in the sense that you're actually, when you have a burning desire to be altruistic, you're actually more worried about the way it makes you feel to be or to do something altruistic than you are about actually having an impact, a selfless impact on someone else's life, and actually worrying about the human condition. And at the end of the day, an altruist doesn't really give a shit about how it makes them feel or what they have to sacrifice or what they get out of it in the end. You know, altruism is an inherently disinterested interest in the betterment of the human condition. And to effectively be an altruist, the first thing I think you have to do is remove the bias of the self. You know, remove the ego, remove yourself as the primary variable in the happiness equation here. You have to put the other person as the primary variable. And in order to do that, you kind of have to check yourself. You have to recognize that being altruistic is not something that you can actually do to benefit yourself. And so that is why I am kind of giving a little bit of a hot take, but also hopefully after I've kind of explained my position on that, you will sort of agree with me here that I think people, altruism, and not necessarily just altruism, but people that say, oh, I'm an altruist, they're misrepresenting the actual nature of altruism, which is that nobody cares and you shouldn't care either, just do it because you know that it's helping someone. And I don't necessarily think that's exactly how I've thought my entire life. I've fallen into that trap, I think, of the burning desire for altruism. Even if I just look at what I did in college, my summer job in college was working for a New York State-based nonprofit called NYPIRG. If anyone here that's a New York resident will probably have, if not, had someone come knock on their door and try to talk to them about the organization's goals, you've at least heard of it. It's the largest student-run nonprofit in the state of New York, and my original reason for joining NYPIRG was to be able to say, I'm doing something good for the environment. We were working on the hydrofracking campaign. Now, or as I should say, anti-hydrofracking campaign. Now, my original reason, like I said, was to be able to say, I joined so I could be able to say, I'm doing something to help the cause. But that was a pretty self-serving reason to join that nonprofit and actually go out into the community. I wasn't actually doing it for the betterment of New York State and potentially the world. I was doing it so I could feel good about myself. And so I think part of the reason that actually I had that thought was because I realized that I don't necessarily think that way anymore. I either don't do something because I don't feel like doing it, or I don't even notice that I've done something because I just did it and it felt like the right thing to do at the time. And so that kind of brings me into the entry that I read this morning from the Daily Stoic. Today is April 25th, and so this morning I read the entry for today, and the title of that is "There's Nothing Wrong with Being Wrong," and I couldn't agree more. This is something that I'm very, very passionate about. Is the, well, this doesn't necessarily have anything to do with that, but this is the sentiment behind this is why I'm so passionate about debates and intelligent discussion and engaging in uncomfortable topics of conversation. So let me open that up for you, and we'll to our usually scheduled programming here. And just a quick reminder, or if you're tuning in for the first time, the month of April is the month of unbiased thought. Today, as I said, is April 25th, and this was the entry that I read this morning called "There's Nothing Wrong with Being Wrong." It starts with an entry from Marcus Aurelius's Meditations, usually does, and it goes like this. "If anyone can prove and show to me that I think and act in error, I will gladly change it, for I seek the truth by which no one has ever been harmed. The one who is harmed is the one who abides in deceit and ignorance." Pretty straightforward. Tell the truth to yourself and to others, or else at some point the chickens are going to come home to roost, right? And so Hanselman and Holiday go on to expound on that, and they say, "Someone once attempted to argue with the philosopher Cicero by quoting something he had said or written. This person claimed Cicero was saying one thing now but had believed something different in the past, and his response, 'I live from one day to the next, and if something strikes me as probable, I say it, and that is how, unlike everyone else, I remain a free agent.'" And that's not a free agent in the sports context, by the way. Free agent as in a free thinker, an agent of your own thoughtful construction. That's not in the book either. So back to the book. "No one should be ashamed at changing his mind. That's what the mind is for. A foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds," Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "adored by little statesmen and philosophers and divines. That's why we go to such lengths to learn and expose ourselves to wisdom. It would be embarrassing if we didn't end up finding out we were wrong in the past. Remember, you are a free agent. When someone points out a legitimate flaw in your belief or in your actions, they're not criticizing you. They're presenting a better alternative. Just accept it." And with that, I couldn't agree more, and I'll tell you why. So that goes along with the concept, especially the last section, where if someone's presenting you an alternative viewpoint, or they're criticizing you, that's what they're doing, is presenting that alternative viewpoint. It goes along with another concept from another Ryan Holiday book, which is one of my personal favorites, actually. And if you go to my website after this, the link will be in the bottom of the paragraph. You can also check it out on Facebook, hint, hint. But if you go to my website, I actually have provided an affiliate link for this book to Amazon, so you can go in there. I do get a portion of the purchase, but it's just a great book, honestly. If you want to just pick it up at your local Barnes and Noble or something, that's cool too. But the book is called The Ego is the Enemy, I think it's just Ego is the Enemy, because I'm not very smart. And so this book is all about not necessarily just controlling your ego, but doing your best to kill your ego every chance that you can get. And one of my favorite concepts from this book is the concept of the full stop. And this concept is so important to me, I think, for many different reasons, but I've actually considered getting this tattooed on my body somewhere, maybe like the other forearm, now that I have the right forearm tattooed. Maybe this would go on the left forearm or somewhere else, somewhere that I can see frequently that reminds me, dude, have the courage to make that full stop. And what he talks about in the book is, when your ego is in control of your thinking and you're kind of letting it run wild, you're not reining it in whenever you have the chance or killing it. When your ego is in control of your thinking, and that's the first place you go, is to feed that ego and to satisfy it, and then you make a mistake or your problem-solving approach isn't working or whatever the case may be, something goes wrong, if the ego's in control, you push forward anyway because you don't want to look foolish. Looking foolish would hurt that ego. It would break that ego if you're fragile enough. And so you push forward because your ego tells you that you were right in the first place. And the results of the study or the results on paper from your metrics, KPIs, whatever context you want to look at this in, those results are inaccurate. Just because your ego wants you to do what it originally told you to do. And so you listen to your ego, you're now wasting precious time on a foolish course of action, and you're doing it all just to protect your fragile little self from guilt or responsibility. And so where this ties in to the concept of altruism is this is another form of self-absorbed thinking in the guise of protecting yourself or adding value to the universe. And when you're thinking in that egocentric, self-absorbed kind of space, it really doesn't let you grow as a person because your ego doesn't want you to grow. Your ego wants it to grow. It's parasite. And so your ego will do whatever it can to funnel and feed your thoughts into it so that it can get bigger and bigger and bigger until eventually it collapses, because the ego is not a self-sustaining system. It requires food. And food is in the form of thoughts and actions that are influenced by others. And so this is an incredibly problematic piece when, you know, so let's say you're in a position of responsibility. You're a parent or a mentor, or you're somebody's boss or supervisor. Your unwillingness to change your plan of action, you think you're putting yourself on the right path because you want to look strong in front of your employees or your kids or your mentees or whatever the case may be. So you don't deviate from your plan of action, you double down. And when you're in a position of responsibility, one or both of these things could potentially happen. Your unwillingness to change is going to do one or two, or one and two to someone. And one would be having just a negative impact on others because you're stunting their progress or their development. And number two, it sets a terrible, terrible example for the people that are actually under your tutelage, that are looking to you as a role model. And I don't necessarily consider myself a role model. I'm sure somebody out there is dumb enough to follow me and do what I do and listen to what I say. I mean, you know, it is what it is. But I don't really consider myself a role model necessarily, but I do consider the ramifications of my actions more so now than I think I ever have in my past. More so in the last 6 to 10 months have I been actually thinking about what kind of example my actions set and what kind of reputation I'm building with my actions. And I think being able to accept when you're wrong, having the courage to make that full stop and actually correct your action, like Marcus Aurelius says, when you're acting in error, the courage to actually sit there and correct that action builds your character and builds your reputation much more effectively and on a more solid foundation than just about anything else. And best part about it is I don't have to do anything. I'm not doing that to fulfill a burning desire to be an altruist. I'm doing that because it's what I want to do. And at the end of the day, that's really the only person that we can worry about satisfying is ourself and making sure that we are in control of our headspace. There we have it. That is it for episode 30 of Cognizant and Cognizance. Thank you for sticking through. A little bit longer than usual, about a half an hour. It's not too bad. But yeah, so like I said, go ahead and check out my website if you feel so inclined. You can find it on all my social profiles. Website is www.cogandcog.com. Got a couple cool things up there. Got the podcast hosted. Got a few different affiliate links to products that I use and love. So if any of those look like something that you could use in your life, feel free to follow that link. Takes you right to Amazon. Also got a few different books up there that I've read and or am reading currently. One of those would be The Daily Stoic. If you're looking to check that out, again, go to my website. It's www.cogincog.com. And don't forget, if you like this episode, go ahead and leave me a review. Feel free to rate me on iTunes or any other platform that you're looking for. And if not, that's totally fine too. So thanks for listening and have a good night.